Beautiful singing. It's a great day, a beautiful day that God has given us. We're absolutely blessed to be here. And let us be thankful that God has allowed us to come together in His presence with one another. Our God is truly good indeed. We want to make sure that our visitors know that we're grateful that they're here. We're thankful that you made that decision to be here among us this morning for worship. If you would, as we begin, before we begin the lesson, let's pray together. Would you bow with me, please? Father, we come before you this morning with humble minds and humble hearts, recognizing, Father, your greatness, your majesty, knowing, Lord, that you alone are holy. Help us this day, Father, to make the commitment to seek you in all things, to always humble ourselves before you. Make that commitment, Father, to remove that selfish, stubborn pride that we hang on to so many times. Help us, Father, be mindful that this life is short, that we are just pilgrims. We're only sojourners here for a short amount of time. And we know, Father, that eternity waits for us after this life. Help us to be strong in the faith and be courageous and to remember Jesus each and every day, and to remember our purpose to glorify Him in our lives. We pray these things through His holy name. Amen. Now, we've been talking about this year, about building on God's one foundation. And in that, really, what we've been asking is, what is it that God expects from us? Right, and hopefully we're developing that mindset that seeks what God expects from us, and that we're going to be a humble people, and we're going to do our best to live that out according to His standards, right? According to what God has revealed in His Word. And so that's what we've been working on. And this lesson this morning ties together with some previous lessons, and it's looking forward, right? And this section of the year, going along with our theme, where we're talking about building together. And in that, there are some expectations that God has of us as His people. You know, as a preacher, the time that I've been a preacher, it breaks my heart, and I know your heart has been broken by the fact that there have been those who have obeyed the gospel, right? We helped them in that journey to get into Christ. And sometimes it might take years, sometimes a lot shorter than that, maybe months, where they then leave the Lord's church. They leave the Lord. They go back into that darkness, which they were saved from. Now, what happened to them? Where did they go? Right, we can all think about people that used to be here with us in worship. They're no longer here. What happened? I submit to you that it was an issue of commitment. Now, every person is different. You know, maybe they weren't truly committed from the beginning, or something came along in their walk of faith and stole away their commitment. One way or the other, it was a commitment issue, I believe. Now, with all of that in mind, I want us to do a mental exercise. If you had to preach your own funeral, this would actually be a good, something we really should do, right? It'd be great if you went home this afternoon and you got a pen and a paper and you had to write out your own funeral sermon. Right? But what would you say about you? What would you put in that sermon for your own funeral? What would you say about you? That's a very sobering mental exercise. You know, what would you say about you? How would you preach your own funeral? Would you preach you into heaven? Or could you honestly say that about you, that you were committed? Right, that you were determined to make it to the end no matter the cost. Could you say that about you in your own funeral? What would you say? Right? You know, in the past, I've been thinking about this also. You know, in the past, whenever I baptized somebody into Christ, I used to always say, you know, this is the most important day of your life. But I'm coming to the point where I'm going to amend that. That is not the most important day in your life. It's up there, absolutely. Right? Because you can't end well if you don't begin well. I'm thinking now maybe what I need to tell people is that day where you take your last breath, when you close your eyes for the last time, and you die in Christ, that's the most important day. Right? It reflects someone that has lived a life of commitment. Now, the thing about it is, if you and I are just waiting for a problem to arise that's bigger than our faith, if we're just waiting for a temptation to arise that's bigger than our faith, let me tell you this for sure. A problem or a temptation will arise that is bigger than your faith. Right? And so we can't approach our faith with that kind of mindset, because it will come. Right? So right now is the time where you have to determine to be faithful to God no matter what. I'm not going to give up. And I would count it a great success if after this assembly today, everyone here would leave this assembly being determined in their mind that they're never going to give up on Jesus. Never. Whatever problem, whatever temptation, they're going to overcome that and never give up on Jesus. That would be one of the greatest successes of my life if I can encourage someone to make that decision. Now, if you would, open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So the question is, all these things that I just brought up, you know, how do you do it, right? It sounds good, right? But how do you do it? You see, God never tells us what to do without telling us how to do it. And Paul, what a wonderful example. We've been looking at his example through several areas of Scripture the last couple weeks. And I want to do that again here in 2 Corinthians 4. Paul went through so much, yet he remained committed to the Lord. How did he do it? What's this example that he gives us, right? This man that had such great fortitude, such great commitment to say, Lord, I'm going to stay with you for life regardless of the cost. So here in 2 Corinthians 4, let's study this with open minds, open hearts, open eyes. Right? And with that mindset, you know, I want to learn how to develop this attitude of I'll never give up. So Paul here, by inspiration, he's going to write some reasons why and how to continue in the faith, not giving up. And then we're going to end looking at three things, the last three verses of this chapter here. But I want you to notice first here, verses 1 and verse 16, there's bookends. Right? And this is a literary device we find throughout the Bible where you get two statements that are the same. In other words, it's that idea of I want you to look in between those statements to highlight how to do whatever it is those bookends are. And here the bookend is, we do not lose heart. So in verse 1, he begins by saying, therefore. Now you got to stop anytime you see the word therefore. See what it's there for. Well, he's tying it back to chapter 3. Real quick, chapter 3 is about this ministry. In other words, the new covenant of Christ that we have access to. Right? And it's by his mercy. This wonderful gift of the new covenant of Christ purchased with the blood of Christ. Wow, we have access to that. So therefore, he tells us we do not lose heart. Right? And we're being reminded here that we have access to something so much better than the old covenant. Right? We have the hope that only comes through Jesus Christ. And so that we would know some things, right? Listen, we're not left wondering what his will for us is. We don't have to guess, you know, what's our purpose in life. You know, we're not left guessing, you know, how I ought to live in this life, right? This new ministry, this new covenant that he writes about in chapter 3. It's powerful, right? So in verse 4, chapter 1, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Right? Now, that's a big statement from a man who's going through extreme persecution. Pain and suffering, probably like none of us know, right? And it's not, it's more than just, well, you know, life comes with problems. It was more severe than that. And a huge amount of suffering that Paul was experiencing was because of his commitment to the Lord. Right? And so when this man here says, I do not lose heart, you know, is that arrogance? Is that pride? Or is it commitment? I submit to you, it's commitment. Right? And this is Paul's way of saying, you know, I've thought about this. I've preached about this. You know, I have given my life to make sure I do not stop. And I believe it's almost like a battle cry. Right? Paul, you know, can you tell us what it is you want with your life? And it's like he's saying, I'll tell you what. You know, this ministry that I've received through the mercy of God, this is what I live for. This is what I have to be a part of. And I will not give up. I will not lose heart. And he goes on here through the chapter real quick. And we don't have time to develop the whole thing. He gives some powerful and beautiful teachings about, for example, verse 2, how he handles the Word of God. Verse 3, how the gospel's been revealed. Verse 4, some are going to blind themselves to the truth of the gospel. They're going to remain in darkness. They're going to remain blind. Verse 5, he doesn't preach himself, but Christ. Verse 6, Jesus wants to shine the light of himself through the knowledge of the new covenant. Verse 7, the gospel has power, and we have access to that power likened unto an earthen vessel. Right? And you kind of see where he's going with all of this. In verse 8, then he talks about some really difficult times. Right? I'm hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Perplexed. In other words, he's saying, I don't really know why all of this is happening to me, but I'm not in despair. Right? I'm not in despair. In verse 9, I'm persecuted. A lot of pain, but I'm not forsaken. Right? And I can imagine people as they're persecuting Paul. Maybe it's when they stoned him or they're beating him or they're dragging him off to prison. They're saying such things as, where's your God now? Where's that Jesus you keep talking? Where is he now? Very similar to when Jesus was on the cross. If you are the Son of God, well, take yourself down. And also when I read this and I think about Paul, I kind of, in my mind, it might be silly, but I kind of imagine him in a boxing ring with the devil. Right? And the devil's just hitting him with blow after blow, and maybe the devil gives him a good right cross, and it does knock him down. And Satan thinks, oh, I got him now. And those mocking Paul, look, he's struck down. But I just picture maybe getting up on his elbow. You might have struck me, but I'm not out. Right? And he keeps getting up. Right? And I think we have this here for us to visualize that with our own faith. What a powerful example. Right? You can hear the conviction, right? I will not lose heart. You know, and Paul could have honestly said, you know what? Someday you might strike a blow that'll take this body physically. But I'm not giving up. I will not lose heart. What a battle cry. And so it is with this that he says in verses 10 and 11. Right? He says the same thing twice, but in a little bit different way to emphasize to us some things. Right? He says, always carrying about in the body. Now notice from here down to the end, he's going to slightly and very intentionally, he's going to reference the fact that we're made up of a physical body, and right now it is the home of the soul. And the emphasis needs to be on the soul and not the physical body. Right? What has to endure is the soul. Right? And Paul says, I'm not losing heart in that. And so notice what he does here. Verse 10, read it with me. always caring about in the body what? What does it say? The dying of our Lord Jesus. And that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. How was Paul carrying the suffering of Jesus? In other words, saying, you can look at my body, you know, the scars, what I've went through, that shows my commitment to the Lord. Right, and we need to have that reminder, listen, you're going to suffer in this life. Right, so don't wait for suffering to come into your life for you to have that as a moment where you're going to give up. Peter writes 1 Peter chapter 2, Jesus suffered. Basically he's saying, so what makes you think you won't suffer? Right, so you've got to be committed, whatever it is you're going to face, committed not to lose heart in the face of suffering. And he's saying here that in that, our body can manifest a life that proves that we belong to Jesus. And brethren, that's not a light thing. Right? This is part of, you know, how do you finish? Right? How do you not fall away from the Lord? Right? You don't have the right to stand up in the easy days and say, well, I'd love to be a light for Jesus. Right? Until you have that commitment that says, I'll suffer in any way for Jesus. Right? I'll suffer in the body for the cause of Christ. That's what Paul's saying here, showing my likeness to his death. Right? When you're willing to suffer like that, he says, then you'll be willing to use the same body as an instrument of life for the manifestation of Jesus in your life. Right? You know, in America, we don't really, we don't suffer that kind of persecution yet. I always say, we don't really suffer persecution for Jesus, mainly where we live right now. But we need to have that mindset of, hey, you know what? You can take my job because I'm a Christian. I'm not going to give up. Right? You can take my physical possessions because of my faith, but I tell you what, I'm not going to give up on Jesus. You can harm me physically because of my faith, I will not lose heart. That is the mindset that we need to have. Right? And when we can develop that, be committed to that, then we'll be lights for Jesus. The manifestation of His light in our lives, that's what folks are going to see. And we need to be determined to have that kind of mindset. Now notice here in verse 11, notice how he says the same thing. For we are always delivered to what? To death for Jesus' sake. That the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So in verse 10, verse 11, he's covering kind of the same thing, two different angles, I believe. Right? In verse 10, carried about in the body. Verse 11, being delivered to death for Jesus' sake. In other words, the interesting thing about carried is anything that you carry, you have the potential of putting it down whenever you want, right? Oh, I'll carry the Lord in my life, but when it gets uncomfortable, doesn't match the lifestyle I want to live, or it's harming me, I'm just going to set it down. Right? Stop that pain. Stop this. Look, don't persecute me anymore. I'm just going to set it down. Leave me alone. And then in the next verse, he's teaching the same thing, but this time he uses the word delivered. In other words, what happens when your commitment in the Lord is so strong? You know what? Deliver me wherever you want. I'm not giving up. Deliver me wherever you want. I will not give up on Jesus. I'll carry it. I will not lay it down. You deliver me to wherever, I still won't lay it down. I'm committed to the Lord till the end. And we get to the last part of our bookend here. Now, verses 13, 14, 15, we don't have time to develop that. I hope that you read it on your own time. Really speaking about our reward for such faith, which is grace. Right? He talks about mercy in the beginning of this context. Now he's talking about grace. But I want you to think about this here, that the last part of this bookend, right, in verse 16, right, and I know we've heard this verse many times, had it in our scripture reading, but I want you to listen to it with new ears. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. Now you see what he's doing here? Therefore, he says all of that. He's going to sum it up here in these last three verses. But I want you to notice that here he's going to address the outward man and the inward man, the physical and the spiritual. Right? We are a new workmanship created in Jesus Christ, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 here. But here he's talking about our inward man should be made anew. Jump ahead here to chapter 5, verse 17. He's going to continue to talk about this inward man. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? What does he say? A new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The new creation, yes, we see it in the way that we live our lives, but that new creation is a result of that inner person being renewed day by day. Right? Being forgiven of spiritual death, being brought to spiritual life through Christ Jesus. Right? And so notice here back in verse 16, chapter 4, what he values. Right? He values the spiritual over the physical. Right? So are you and I going to finish in the Lord? Well, we need to be firm on some things. Go back to Ecclesiastes. Right? Are we going to make it to the last day in Christ? Right? On that day we breathe our last breath. Right? We can die having lived for the Lord. How do we do that? Well, the answer is, as wise old Solomon writes here, Ecclesiastes 12, is we need to value the spiritual over the physical. Right? What happens to the physical? This is what he's dealing with right here. Right? Well, the physical is perishing every day. Listen, today you're one day older than you were yesterday. This year you're 1 year older than you were a year ago. Right? I know it's not a news flash. You probably line up 100 doctors and ask them the same question, and the answer is going to be everyone's going to die. Right? Even if you live to 120 years old, listen, you're going to die. Right? We're not meant to be here. This world's not our home, we sing. We're just pilgrims, sojourners. We're just here for a short amount of time. We're getting old. We're going to die. Right? Are you at the age yet where when you drop something accidentally, you don't just pick it up, you kind of do a calculation in your mind to consider if it's worth picking it up? Are you there yet? Right? When you get old, I see some smiles, right? When you get older, things aren't as easy as they used to be, and that's what Solomon's talking about here. In other words, you're going to get old, this flesh is going to die, it's going to go back to the dust. It's just the way it is. And so we're being taught here that, you know, really, when we get old, we become afraid of many things. Things that used to be easy, they're not easy anymore. Right? So he's describing the physical body and how it's aging. And so we take what we're learning with Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 and apply that here. Basically, the point is, how much of your effort, your energy, and your heart, and your life is focused on the physical? Right? See, you cannot finish in the Lord if that is your main focus. Right? When you put more emphasis in your life on the physical than the spiritual, right, you're not going to make it. But only those who find strength in the spiritual, those are the ones that are going to finish in the Lord. But there's another way also when he's talking about that he's perishing. Paul received much persecution that no doubt that it was harming his physical body. Right? You know, Paul, why are you doing this? Don't you know it's going to kill you? Paul said, well, that's right. Yeah, that's fine. I don't want it, but it is what it is. Yeah, the outward man is perishing, but let me tell you about the inward man. Right? It's almost like a reversed aging process on the inside. I'm getting younger every day spiritually. Right, it's being renewed. Now here's a mental exercise for us to do and be honest. Are you stronger in your faith today than you were a year ago? Right?
If you've been a Christian that long. Right, to ask a question is to answer.
Are you stronger today in your faith than you were a year ago? And if the answer is no, that's a red flag. That's a warning. Something's going on. You need to take care of that. Right? Is your inward man, the spiritual, is it being renewed day by day? Can you honestly say that you're stronger today than you were however much long ago in your faith? But I want you to notice the next thing here. Verse 17, and notice we are to value the future over the present. Right? And this is one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. He's saying, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, we already saw back in verses 8, 9, and 10, right, these things that didn't sound like light affliction. By the way, that word in the original language, light, is it means more weightless. Paul, how can you call all of this persecution light, weightless? Right, you go to 2 Corinthians 11, Paul, he lists all those things that he suffered. Right, the beatings, being stoned, shipwrecked, all that stuff. That's nothing. Right, and it was more than Paul just saying, well, just think positively and none of this will affect you, none of it will hurt. It's not that. Right? But how can he call this light? So he's telling us right here, you got to put it into proper perspective. We talked about this in our Wednesday Bible class. You know, it's that idea of a scale, right? We're going to read Romans 8 here in a moment, right? He's getting us to see a scale, if you will. All of that suffering, pain, persecution over here on this side, but this weight of glory, eternal weight of glory is on this side. It's like all that suffering is just like it's weightless, right? And this, what I have in Christ, it just hits the bottom. That eternal weight of glory. Real quick here, Romans the 8th chapter. And this is huge for us to grasp if we're never going to give up, if we're never going to lose heart. Romans 8, 17 and 18. And think about how he describes the present with the future. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if it's conditional, indeed we suffer with him that we may what? What does he say? Also be glorified together, for I consider the sufferings when? Of the present time. Are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He says that I know that I'm going to have to suffer in this present time with Christ, but don't forget, Jesus is coming, right? And we learn in Scripture with a shout, with a trumpet, and we're going to be changed in just the twinkling of an eye. And we get to share in His glory for eternity. Right? From glory to glory, we're going to be more like Him than we ever were before. Now, I thought about doing an illustration here this morning that I've done in the past when we were living in Missouri, our congregation there. I used to have a really nice, clean, thick 100-foot rope. But that same rope is filthy, and I don't want to bring it in here. So I'm going to explain to you what I did before with this illustration. I had the rope behind the pulpit, and on the end of that rope, I did 2 inches of bright red tape. And in that, I said that little bit of red tape represents the average human life, about 80 years. And then you could break that down a little bit more, you know, about a quarter of that is, you know, when we're young, we're growing up, being educated. And the last 20, 30 years, on that little 2 inches there, the other quarter plus is, you know, we're old. We're retired or whatever, and life's a little bit more difficult in that sense. But then you got 30, maybe 40 years in the middle. And that's what we focus on, that little bit, you know, maybe an inch at the most out of that 2 inches. And I said, but now you need to think about eternity. And I took that 100-foot rope and I kind of chunked it out to the side. I said, that represents eternity, but in this illustration, that rope would never end. Right? It would wrap around the earth 1,000 times and then some, and then keep going into space for eternity. And we're so focused on an inch of this 2-inch red of this rope here because we think that's what's important. Right? And when we focus on that little bit compared to eternity, listen, we're going to make some bad choices. And what Satan wants to convince you of is that that's the important thing. Right? That little bit, that's what you need to focus on. Your comfort, that's what's critical. That's what he wants you to believe. And then you're going to make terrible mistakes concerning your faith. We make awful mistakes when we have that kind of mindset. And Paul was literally looking forward to that eternal glory. Right? That home, Revelation 21, where everything is perfect. Right? There's no influence of evil. No Satan and all the harm that he's done to humanity. There's no children being neglected or abused. There's no elderly that are not being taken care of. No more tears or pain. Right? There's no more goodbyes. There's no more darkness. There's no more sad goodbyes. You know what? No more emergency rooms. No more nursing homes. No more funeral homes. Right? Nothing bad. And Paul was saying, I've been on this earth long enough. I know where I want to go. And so with all of the troubles and the trials and the heartaches that we face on this earth, we're being taught here, it's just a present thing. My mind, my focus, my vision needs to be on the future, and the scales are heavy with the weight of the future when we're in Christ. You know, the farmer doesn't plant a seed and expect a harvest that same day. I need to understand that everything comes in its season. When I can have that perspective, it's going to help me make it to the end, and I won't give up. Satan wants to convince you that right now is the most important. Now, as we close our lesson this morning, I want you to notice here, now verse 17 doesn't end with a period, so it's connected to verse 18. So I want you to look at verse 18 here for our conclusion, and I want you to note the key verse, the key phrase here in this verse. It says, while we look, and I know he puts a do not between there. But notice, while we do not look, in other words, we're not going to be able to see the light affliction, right? Which is really, it can even be some heavy stuff, right? Not saying any affliction or suffering you're going through is easy, right? But I want you to see that really it's light. It's weightless in comparison here. Comparing it to the eternal glory. Notice how it's all tied together. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen or unseen. Why, Paul? Well, because the things that are seen, they're temporal, they're temporary. But the things that are eternal are not seen. Right, so he says that here in verse 17, right? And hopefully we have that mindset that I want to be able to do that. He says, okay, then you've got to. Now this is all leading up to chapter 5, verse 7, the passage we all know by heart, right? He says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. That's what he's saying here in chapter 4 and verse 18. In other words, if you want to live for that eternal weight of glory, what you're going to have to do is you have to lift up your spiritual eyes. You're going to have to see beyond the physical. You got to understand that your life here is short. I always say you can't stay, right? You can't stay, you can't stay, you can't stay. None of us can stay. So where's your focus? Right, you got to see that. And if your emphasis is on your job or keeping a perfect lawn or having just the right house and the right clothes and the right amount of money in your bank account, and those things in and of themselves aren't necessarily bad, but if that's your main focus, you're going to be blinded to the spiritual. You're not going to focus on the right thing, and you're going to struggle in your faith. You're going to miss everything that we're being taught here. You know, somebody's going to do your funeral someday. And if you focused on the physical over the spiritual, and if they're an honest man, they're going to try to find a way to say some nice things about you. How do I know that? Because I've done just that. Because the funeral's for those who are living, right? But what about if the preacher, maybe it's going to be me at your funeral. What about if, honestly, I could say, you know what? They lived. They absolutely lived for the things that could not be seen. She lived for God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. They lived with the eternal weight of glory in mind. This morning, will you join me in, not in arrogance, but in commitment, and say, I will not lose heart. Right? I'm committed to value the spiritual over the physical, the future over the present, and the eternal over the temporal. That's a question we all need to consider this morning. And before we sing a song of invitation, we offer the Lord's invitation. It's His. It's not ours. If you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel, will you make a commitment? Now, it is a commitment. It's not easy. Don't do it if you're not committed to the end. But it's beautiful when someone's committed and they put on Christ in baptism with that responsive faith. I believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm committed to love Him and love others in my life. I'm willing to repent of my sins, make that confession publicly, reenact His death, burial, and resurrection in water, immersion. I'm going to come up out of that water committed to walk in newness of life. And I'm going to do that to the end no matter what. Till I die or until Jesus returns, whichever happens first. Have you done that? If you haven't, will you be committed to do that? Maybe you've done that and you're honest that I've reflected on my life and I haven't been committed and I went back into a lifestyle of sin. Well, make the commitment to come back home. Right? If it's something of a public nature, bring it before the church. Or if it's just something you want prayers for, you need encouragement, let us show you the love of Christ and your church family. If you have a need this morning, let someone know, please, as we stand, as we sing.